When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Week number three of the NFL preseason, and already some 2028 Olympic talk with flag football. We'll get to that in just a moment. Plenty of baseball breakdowns on this Thursday as well. Our MLB insider, Craig Mish, joins us in this third and final hour up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Let's bring it home, DRS.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun in this hour. Major League Baseball certainly going to take a little center stage. Afternoon action, some things to sink our teeth into. And also the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves in a rubber match down in A-Town tonight. We'll see how that one goes. But we are ready for football. Thursday night football tonight. Week zero coming up this weekend in college football. And that is the game plan here. Get the people ready for what they need to know.
Tom Vecchio's prop perspective on a Thursday? Man, I got to check the rundown a little bit more often than I do. That's big for us, and we'll have a good announcement as well later on in this third hour. Donnie, there's been some conversation. What? Hey, come on now.
Does that have to do with you? There's two big question marks in your life right now that you might be making a decision on. So we'll wait for your announcement a little bit later in the show.
Come on now. We can't go twice in a week now. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, as we start off this third hour, there's been a lot of conversation in the last few days about the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, because one of the new sports that will be introduced is flag football. Should NFL players be out there? Should it be the flag football team for the USA that knows this sport and all the intricacies that are different than what we see in organized tackle football? Well, the quarterback right now, Darrell Hooch Doucette for Team USA, he's been rather outspoken. He's standing up for his guys. He's standing up for his own talent. Here's what Hooch had to say to TMZ Sports yesterday. I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. He did go on to say that Mahomes, of course, is incredibly talented and possesses a lot in the National Football League. He means his IQ of the game in flag football, but still did say these words, truly utter these words, quote, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. Mahomes had some fun with it on Twitter, using the 50 Cent meme of who? Me? As he quote tweeted this, because he has not really been involved or taken any jabs at Hooch Doucette. Donnie, first, before we get into the Fade the Public poll, your reaction to Hoosh's words about his IQ as compared to Patrick Mahomes?
It's pretty good. I appreciate people that put themselves out there at that point. Nobody ever heard of this guy unless he came up with this sort of stance where I'm better than Patrick Mahomes, who might go down as the single best quarterback to ever play in the National Football League. Technically, yes, it is two different sports, and we'd had some unbelievable talents in the Arena Football League that maybe didn't translate over, or maybe it's Kurt Warner, like, hey, look, I was great in the America in the Arena League, and now I'm great in the NFL. But it's kind of odd the way it's coming off. And quite frankly, Twitter and social media responded the way they were supposed to. It's like, who is this guy? What is he talking about? But now you have our attention for these 30 seconds. Now we're going to try to end you on social media at that point. That's basically the way it goes down at this.
Yeah, listen, you appreciate the bravado. You need a cocky and confident like quarterback in whatever form of football is out there. And Hushtu said is doing a good job already building up the atmosphere and the excitement for flag football in the Olympiad in just 4 years. But it did lead to a natural thought. If we are going to see flag football in the summer games in 2028, played in the Coliseum more than likely in Los Angeles, do we want to see Team USA have flag football players or NFL players to win a gold medal? That was virtually the question to you and Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, in the 2028 Olympics, should Team USA's flag football team be made up of flag football pros or NFL players? Those are your two options. In a pretty even split at Sports Grid on Twitter, 52% saying NFL players, 48% saying flag football players. Which way did Donnie Wrightside vote?
See, I voted for like the flag football players, but it's kind of funny how you read this out where it's like, you know, made up of the flag football pros. I mean, I didn't even know that was a thing at that point. There's a pro league for flag football. But I don't want NFL players being there because, and I say this, like, I don't mind actually NFL players being there, just not on my team here. Patrick Mahomes, you want to go out there? Have at it, kid. Superstars, Lamar Jackson, have at it. Jalen Hurts, don't want you there. A.J. Brown, Devontae, nope, don't want you there either. I can enjoy sitting back with other teams' players because I just don't want any injuries. So I say this.
Yeah.
I just would like to see the college kids in there. Just I you do want named people because you send the 3-on-3 in this Olympics here, and we got shelled in 3-on-3 because guys like Jimmer Fredette are representing the country in basketball. It's like, we couldn't have done a little bit better than that. Like, we don't need to send our best. Just send me some legitimate names, and I will be able to enjoy the competition. And quite frankly, just let the college kids let it rip. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Arch Manning is the quarterback and a couple dominant wide receivers out there. I can enjoy that here. I just don't need to see Patrick Mahomes in some meaningless competition, you know, out there in Los Angeles in 2028. I don't need to see that.
So a couple of things here when we break down this question. I voted for flag football players first and foremost because this is their Super Bowl. This is their arena. The National Football League doesn't need it, and I don't really know the sport of flag football all that well in terms of how the Americans stack up to the rest of the world. But this is our game, and we should win a gold medal, even if it's not Patrick Mahomes or Justin Jefferson playing on this team. And then you get to the logistics and the reality of the situation. The Summer Olympics are in July. They started in Paris on July 27th, the first day of competition, opening ceremonies on July 26th. Every NFL team was already in training camp. I don't know if this is pure coincidence, but the 2028 Olympic Games are 2 weeks earlier, starting on Friday, July 14th, 2028, through the end of July, Sunday, July 30th. Is the IOC trying to do that to entice NFL teams to allow their players to go play? Maybe. I don't think any NFL team is going to sign off to let their star go out there. It's not tackle football. I'm sure the risk of injury is substantially down, but you can still cutting or running or whatever risk an injury right before training camp and a new season begins. I don't think the NFL is going to allow their players to be out there or to qualify or to do anything that is needed for Olympic competition. So I don't even think it's a realistic chance that National Football League players are going to play in the Olympic Games. That's kind of where I stand here. Give it to the flag football guys that don't get the spotlight and can do it and know the game. Let them go out there. And if the United States doesn't win gold, that's a disappointment. And then maybe we have a different conversation in 2032. But I would still, again, we're a long way away. I would still expect Team USA to be a heavy favorite to win a gold medal in flag football, the uniquely American game.
Yeah, let's understand something, too. There's a reason why we don't watch on Sunday afternoons flag football, why it's boring as all get out. It's horrendous here. So you might want to spice it up with pro players. But how about this? We've seen like 7-on-7s at like the Pro Bowl. I don't watch a second of it because, again, it's boring as all get out here. So whether or not the NFL plays or doesn't play, we'll tune in because it's the Olympics and we'll watch. But trust me right now, nobody's like, oh, I can't wait for 11 o'clock. Patrick Mahomes is going to be quarterbacking a ultra boring ass game of flag football here. Just get him back on the sidelines in the NFL. We'll live with it. Whoever plays here. I just like to see the college kids. So at least it's like, oh, I heard that guy's name before, as opposed to a bunch of guys just running around. I never heard. You could go down to the park on a Saturday at 3 o'clock and watch the same flag football. So what are we even doing in the first place?
Right. I mean, I still think it's going to be exciting. It's a new wrinkle. I think it will be better than a 3-on-3 performance for the U.S. in Olympic basketball in that way. But I do really believe it's going to be the flag football players that have been around the sport, and it allows guys like Hoosh Doucette to make a name for themselves, which is always a good thing.
Was he at the Rucker? Where was he? Where's he work out? Somewhere?
Rucker's basketball. You know that. More on the early lineup.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our Major League Baseball insider and the host of Newswire, each and every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, live right here on the Spiz Grizz. Craig Mish joins us on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. Craig, a historic day yesterday in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about Aaron Judge, his home run tracker, and the end of a career for one of the greats in Cincinnati in Joey Votto. So much to get to, Craig. We appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, of course. And I can't wait to get into Votto here because, you know, I would have loved to see him play this season, but it does make some sense with what he did yesterday. And I think it's really nice that hopefully in 4 years from now, because again, he didn't play a Major League Baseball game, Ben, but hopefully 4 years from now that he's wearing that Cincinnati cap, and that's the only cap that he would obviously wear in the Hall of Fame.
That will be the question, Craig, as we touch them all. We hit every single bag today in the Daily Basis. Joey Votto officially calls it a career, and what a stellar one it was. Here's the career resume for one of the greats to do it for the Reds. 17 seasons, a six-time Major League Baseball All-Star, the 2010 National League MVP, and as you see there, 356 career home runs. It is difficult, Craig, to impress the baseball writers necessary to get into Cooperstown. But when all is said and done, is Joey Votto going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Joey Votto is 100% going to be in the Hall of Fame. The only thing that we don't know is, will he get in, Ben, on the first ballot? And I believe he will get in on the first ballot. And again, nothing against Joe Mauer at all, okay? But, I mean, if we're putting these two players up against each other and you had to pick one, who would you take? It would be Votto for me all day long. Look, in this day and age where on-base percentage means a lot, he's there. Hit a lot of home runs, drove in a lot of runs. If batting average is your thing, I mean, take a look at Votto's last 3 years. They were horrific. He still ended up with a batting average of .296 lifetime. There's nothing to talk about. He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you know, others will have to make that decision. My guess is, Ben, and again, remember, he didn't play a major league game, so he doesn't have to wait 5 years. He has to wait 4 years, and I believe in 4 years he'll get somewhere between, you know, 77% to 80% and get in on the first try. I believe he'll be in there.
Yeah, Votto was always a fun player, too. Not only great on the field, but even when he would come to Philadelphia doing stuff like, you know, catch a foul ball, fake like you're going to give it to a fan, throw it back onto the field. So he was always engaged and certainly very quirky, but also very cool at times as well. Major League Baseball here, Craig, as we take a look before the season, we're expecting maybe a few teams to reach that 100-win plateau. And I don't think we're going to get that now. Quite frankly, it would be an upset to get one of these Major League Baseball teams at 100 wins. As you take a look at the Dodgers, a plus 300 price. The Phillies at an 8-to-1 price. The Yankees at a 10-to-1 price just to get to 100 wins. Is it parity, or is it basically one of those years where some of the top teams just a little bit injured and couldn't get to that century mark?
Yeah, Donnie, I think you said it best. There's been a lot of injuries in baseball. I definitely think that has happened. And we just don't see a ton of teams at the bottom also that are awful. I mean, look, the White Sox are going to lose 100 games, then maybe Miami and Colorado. But beyond that, a lot of the middle teams are the middle teams this season. There really hasn't been a huge disparity there. The Dodgers at this point definitely have the best shot to do it. They get the Rockies still for a few more. They get Miami for a few more. So the opportunity is still there for L.A., but I think at the end of the season we're going to look back, and someone will probably hit 97 or 98, but I don't think anybody hits 100.
Yeah.
128 games played for LA. They have the most wins with 76. They would need to go 24-10 over their final 34 games at bare minimum to get to 100 for a fifth consecutive full Major League Baseball season. The last year we did not have a single club win 100 games around the bigs. That was 2014, a decade ago. Craig, what a change we have seen in the odds to win the National League Rookie of the Year award. At times around the All-Star break with Paul Skeen starting the game for the National League in Arlington, he was up to a minus 2,000, minus 4,000 favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year. He is no longer the favorite. He is not in minus money. It is San Diego's Jackson Merrill at a minus 175 number. Craig, what do you think the biggest reason is for the large change atop the National League Rookie of the Year odds?
Yeah, look, and this has been the biggest shifting market, I think, of all the markets since the beginning of the season. You know, none of those players, those top three, were even favored to win the Rookie of the Year. And then Imanaga very quickly was the favorite. Then Skeens was the favorite. Now Merrill is the favorite. So why has it gone from Merrill to Skeens? There's two different reasons. The first, let's talk about Skeens. The reason why is because Skeens very clearly has not been as good as he was when he first came up. Looks like he potentially is getting tired, not throwing 100 anymore. He's only throwing 98, 99, guys, right? Like, that's all he's throwing. But I think that the markets are smart and they realize that Skeens is running out of time. I think the Pirates very soon are going to shut him down, especially if they are out of it. And there is some talk Jared Jones comes back and Skeens stops. That could definitely be the case. The other part of this, why is Merrill the Rookie of the Year? It's not just his stats. Guys, he's got like the biggest hits of the season for the Padres. Yeah. He's come up in these big moments, grand slams, home runs, doubles to win the game. And I think that that is why the pendulum has shifted toward Merrill. I don't think this is an open and shut case, but I think when we look back at Merrill's season, it's going to be his clutch hitting. I know they don't judge that anymore, but I think his clutch hitting has been huge for him.
Yeah, he injected a lot of life into that offense, and they're fun to watch. Now, yesterday it didn't work out in their favor, gave up a lot of runs to the Twins, but they're going to take on the New York Mets, who walked off as a winner yesterday, got on a plane flying out, 3,000 miles to the West Coast. Severino versus Cease tonight, a favorite for San Diego. Do the good times continue for the Mets, or is it a bounce-back spot for the Padres tonight?
Yeah, probably a close game, and this one you can almost guarantee that the Mets bullpen is going to have to come through tonight, because the odds to me of Severino throwing another nine-inning shutout or even pitching nine innings like he did last week against Miami, slim to none. So this is probably a late bullpen situation type game. I would look toward the under in this one. Both pitchers get through 6-7, and the bullpens have been actually okay, especially the Padres bullpen with Hader in the back nine there. So low-scoring game today in San Diego.
Luis Severino has been sensational, at least in his last start against Miami, a complete game, four-hit shutout, but in his first two starts in August, four earned runs given up in each. Craig Mish, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you on Newswire at 11 a.m. Eastern time. See you tomorrow? Football season, Craig?
Football time.
College football?
Football time. Football
Craig.
Time. How about
All right, well,
the Delaware State,
if we don't see you tomorrow.
Did they get
there? Delaware State, they were supposed to take off on their final flight last night. They should be good. Craig's fired up for the Hornets. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We now preview the game we just left you off with Craig Mish breaking down the Padres and the Mets. It's a lot of travel for New York. Yesterday, day baseball at Citi Field. They walk it off courtesy of Jesse Winker to take the rubber match and the set against the Baltimore Orioles. Now, the Mets only backed by a game and a half of Atlanta for the third and final NL wild card spot. They travel cross country to take on the Padres, who have been at home this week, had a chance to sweep the Twins yesterday, got hammered 11-4. Jackson Merrill did have a two-run home run for the Padres as they tried to rally late, but they were down 10-0 after five innings. There was very little chance. San Diego and Dylan Cease, a home favorite today at minus 162 out in Southern California. Over under 7.5 in the under has the juice. Craig mentioned it. Last start for Luis Severino, who makes another one today for New York, was a complete game shutout of the Miami Marlins, only allowing four hits over the weekend. What do you expect, DRS, in this game tonight between the Padres and the Mets?
It's a perfect bounce-back spot for the Padres. Number one, they got hammered yesterday, so they're going to be on their P's and Q's tonight. Dylan Cease is the better pitcher on the mound over Severino. And also, travel does come into this. Like, sometimes we talk about in the NFL, hey, West Coast team coming East Coast, playing at 1 o'clock. It's a little bit earlier of a start. Well, you don't necessarily get that, but you get a 3,000-mile gap where you got to get on a plane and fly out there where the Padres are waiting on you. So better baseball team overall for the Padres, better pitcher on the mound, and also better flight schedule, I should say, for the San Diego Padres as opposed to the Mets coming out there. It seems to me like the Padres should have a nice bounce-back effort tonight. And again, walk away with the victory. I've been back, by the way, I've been back in the Mets here as of late. Just don't like them in this game tonight.
Yeah. And it is a tough spot for New York. It's going to be a tough weekend series against San Diego because when you look at this game for the Mets, they're only backed by a game and a half as of this moment of that third and final National League wild card spot. But to go up against the Padres, who, yes, lost yesterday to Minnesota, San Diego has still won 13 of its last 17 games and is still 22-7 since the All-Star break. It's a four-game set that starts today that runs through the weekend out in Southern California. Rubber match today between two other teams in the National League East. If the Mets have a hard draw, they're rooting for the Phillies, which is not something you would often say for a New York baseball team. The Phils and the Braves today, the third and final game of the set in Atlanta. It's a virtual pick'em once again. Spencer Schwellenbach and the Braves, a very, very slight favorite against the Phils today. The over-under is 8. Who takes the rubber match? Who takes the series?
And that's interesting. This game is in Atlanta tonight, not in Philadelphia. The reason I bring that up is Christopher Sanchez is a really good pitcher here, but there are some question marks about where he pitches better at. And Citizens Bank Ballpark is not a great pitcher's ballpark. I understand it's on the road, but hear me out on this. If the game was in Philadelphia, you know the best pitcher analytically on the card would be today? Christopher Sanchez, a 2.18 ERA at home, an xFIP number of 2.63. That's through 86 and two-thirds innings pitched. Filthy at home. Now let's go on the road. Yeah. So going from the top pitcher would drop him to the 12th pitcher here, Ben. A 5.53 ERA over 53 and two-thirds innings pitch in an xFIP of 4.24. Schwellenbach, who came up to the majors, a little bit of a rocky start, has really settled in as a quality starter. You're still looking at pedigree, right? The Phillies are the better team, and I keep saying it. You know, the Atlanta Braves, a triple-A team basically thrown up there. The Phillies should win by default at this point. But if we are looking at that total, which is listed at 8, I don't know if we get 9 runs. I didn't think the game would go over yesterday, and it didn't. So if Sanchez has a decent performance, I don't trust those bats for Atlanta. And if Schwellenbach is decent, the bats for the Phillies haven't shown up basically in a month, it feels like, at this point. So maybe the better bet would be to an under in this game.
These two teams will begin a four-game weekend set against each other a week from today back in Philadelphia. That will end the season series between these divisional foes. To Donnie's point on Spencer Schwellenbach, his first 6 career starts this year gave up 20 earned runs. In his last 7, only 14 earned runs. He hasn't been stellar, but he has been better. Yesterday, a walk-off grand salami in the 10th off the bat of Nolan Arenado. St. Louis gets a win over Milwaukee. Day baseball under the arch today. The Cards, a home underdog against Freddie Peralta and Milwaukee. It's minus 120. Total is 8. What's the play?
Yeah, I'm going to take Milwaukee in this one. I just don't like Miles Michaelis on the mound. You take a look at him being at home today. Not a great, let me see his seasonal statistics. 60 and two-thirds innings pitched at home. 6.53 ERA. That's at home. That's ridiculous here. Give me the Milwaukee Brewers in this game. They should be able to beat up on the Cards.
Listen, an extra innings defeat yesterday snapped a 6-game win streak for Milwaukee, but the Brew Crew still an 11-game lead over St. Louis for that top spot in the National League Central. A prompt perspective on a Thursday? Jack of all trades, Tom Vecchio, is your next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For as long as I have worked at the Sports Grid Network, for as long as I have hosted this morning show in whatever iteration it has been called with whoever my co-host has been, there has been one consistent thing. And that's Tom Vecchio, the jack of all trades. But we used to introduce him as something else. Now we introduce him with a jacket on as Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio. Vecchio, we are very pleased to welcome you to the Spiz. That's good, DRS. We are very pleased to welcome you to the Spiz Grizz Network. You are going to be doing some great work all across the Sports Grid Network, all football season long, taking that great prop perspective in all of your intellect to the Sports Grid viewers. Glad to have you here as an official part of the Sports Grid Network. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thank you for that introduction. Not that I haven't been here before, but yeah, it's official. Right. I am joining Sports Grid for the NFL season. You'll see me on Monday and Thursday nights for pregame, halftime, and postgame, and then on Sunday nights for postgame, of course, making plenty of appearances on however many other shows. It's great to be here. We got a lot to get to today specifically, so let's just kind of keep things normal and we'll get to it.
Sounds good, Vecchio. Sounds like a plan to me. The surest sign of a new Sports Grid employee is a sports jacket over a T-shirt. You might have omerta, and you might have the cutting of the hands in certain cultures. For us, it's donning a
Sorting
sports
gun.
Jacket on... Oh, that's good. We're a couple of Sopranos guys right here. One, two, and three. Yep. All right, Vecchio, let's dive right in to what you are great at. Your prop perspective, you've been featuring some season-long looks all summer long, getting ready for a new NFL campaign. The focus today is one that Donnie is going to like. Way to suck up to your new coworkers. We focus on Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. What's the play?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts over 21.5 passing touchdowns, sitting at -118. That's on FanDuel. It's at 22.5 with a little bit of plus money on DraftKings, of course. Always shop for the best line. So I always like bringing in the other betting markets and we try and find some correlation. So he's +1,400 for MVP. That's the fifth shortest odds. Philly, 1,300 to win the Super Bowl, fifth shortest odds. And they're +550 to win the NFC, which is the third shortest odds. So like they are in the mix to be one of the best teams, and he's in the conversation to be an MVP. So when we're looking at that, like a quarterback who's in that realm, if they finish with 20 or 19 touchdowns, like that means the market was completely wrong on them. So if we're using those other correlations, we can try and build that in. Not only that, you know, but they've still one of the best offensive lines in the league. They have either the eighth or the ninth easiest strength of schedule, depending on where you look. And, you know, regardless of how they ended the season last year, he's surrounded by a ton of talent. Brown, Smith, Dallas Goedert, bring in Saquon Barkley. That is a very good offense. So I don't care this recency bias that some people have saying, oh, last year they finished, what, 1-8, 1-7, whatever their record was, giving up all these points. The offense is ready to fire on all cylinders. I don't care what the coaching has to say, as Sirianni say, off the field. Like, this is an awesome offense, and if they're going to be one of the best in the league based on the other betting markets, I'm going to be taking Jalen Hurts time and time again.
And that offense will be unveiled here in Brazil going up against the Green Bay Packers on a Friday night. So some good times all the way around. But we do have a doubleheader tonight in the NFL for the final week of the preseason. Indianapolis and Cincinnati is an interesting one tonight, Tom. The FanDuel Sportsbook posted the opening number at -2.5 as a favorite towards the Colts. That's now ballooned to 6.5 because it looks like the Colts will be playing some starters, a total that's currently listed at 34.5. Any looks on tonight's game between the Colts and the Bengals?
I actually don't mind the Colts in this one, and obviously the number has moved significantly. I wouldn't mind looking to take the Colts live, especially if that number drops to, you know, 3.5 or 4.5. And, you know, part of that is because the Colts are going to be playing their starters into the second quarter somewhat. You know, Anthony Richardson only played one game, and he was 2 of 4 in that game. And there were some reports in their joint practice with the Bengals this past week that the Colts offense looked out of sorts and the Bengals defense was like talking trash and like they're really finding their groove and the Colts are not. So based on, you know, Anthony Richardson being hurt last year, missing a bunch of games, and the fact he only threw 4 passes so far, like they need him out there. They need to get in the rhythm in this last game. Yeah. So they have to get the offense going. They have to push the ball downfield. And that has me at least somewhat interested in the Colts.
Colts also in the first half, a 3.5-point favorite. First half total for the game is 17 and a hook. Could take that component of it if you just want to look at Indy and the best and brightest out there. We do not expect to see a ton of starters, Vecchio, maybe any starters in the second game of the doubleheader on this Thursday inside Arrowhead, the Chiefs and the Bears. No Caleb Williams for Chicago, no Patrick Mahomes for KC. The Bears an ever so slight favorite of 1.5. The total is at 32 and the hook. What's your breakdown for this second of two games on a Thursday night?
Well, it's a bit jarring to see the Chiefs at plus money as a home underdog, which I don't think is we saw them at that point ever in however many recent years. But if we're going to be seeing no starters, it's really it's tough to trust anyone when it comes to this game overall. If you want to late with the Bears just because they've been rolling and you know they at least have – oh, is it Tyson Bajan might be out there for a little bit. They at least have some competency in quarterback. I doubt the Chiefs are going to start Carson Wentz. They want to at least protect him in some capacity. So you could roll with the Bears just because they've been hot in the preseason so far. But other than that, this game is to see – who's going to be making the roster and using that from a fantasy perspective going forward.
Going forward, something that we're going to talk about with Paul Skeens, how much longer forward will he be going into the month of September? But we know he's going to be on the mound tonight, Tom. 9:55, 9:56 on the rotation. That's the Reds and the Pirates. Lodolo Skeens, favorite towards Pittsburgh at a -144 price and a total of 7.5. Skeens, does he dominate tonight, and what do we like?
I actually think he does dominate tonight. I like over 7.5 strikeouts. That's a -112. Mm. The Pirates, you know, as Craig Mish said in a couple segments ago, like they're kind of running out of time, and this might be one of Paul Skeens' last chances to really show that he does deserve, you know, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, whatever it might be. He's got an awesome, you know, 31% strikeout rate. So over 7.5. Reds coming with their current active roster versus righties with 24.7% strikeout versus righties. That's the sixth worst in the league. So I expect them to be out there. I expect them to pile up the strikeouts. Again, he needs this start to kind of solidify himself in both the Cy Young and Rookie of the Year market. So give him one or two more good starts and then maybe ease him back as the season comes to a close.
In his five starts since the All-Star break, and of course where he started the All-Star game for the NL, at most only 8 Ks for Skeens. The horror. He has gone under 7.5 Ks in 3 of the last 4 for Pittsburgh. You mentioned the NL Rookie of the Year odds, Tom. We have seen a huge change atop this market. Skeens at points was close to a -5,000 favorite to run away with this award. At the All-Star break, I said they should start taking the chisel out and put Skeens' name on the trophy. Now it's San Diego's Jackson Merrill, a -175 favorite. What has led to this change at the top?
Well, he's been awesome. It's also the fact that the Padres are playing in important games, and he's playing a big role in those games. He's having those big hits. So I can understand why things shifted so dramatically. And if the Pirates were more in the mix for the wild card or the division, and Skeens was still out there dominating for 8-9 strikeouts every time, I think he would still be the favorite. But that's not the case anymore. So, you know, if you were able to get on Jackson Merrill early in the season, congrats. But that ship has sailed right now. So... I think Jackson Merrill will end up winning just because Skeens is going to be eased back when it comes to the innings. That's going to, you know, decrease his efficiency overall.
Talking about Jackson Merrill, his team is going to play tonight against the New York Mets, sort of a wild card battle, if you will. -162 favorite for the Padres and a total listed at 7.5. Are we going with any Jackson Merrill props tonight in this game?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling with him for 2+ total bases at +100. He's awesome in this split versus righties going up against Luis Severino. He's got a 148 WRC plus versus righties. It's only a 70 WRC plus versus lefties. So this is the split to be targeting. Severino, 407 slugging allowed to lefties. Not worried about this all. Let's roll with Merrill.
Let's also go to another game today around Major League Baseball to finish out the prop perspective for this Thursday. Vecchio, what's the final bet that we have on your first day officially as a Sports Grid employee?
Yeah, let's roll with Gavin Williams over 15.5 outs. It's sitting at +146, so there's a good bit of plus money here. He's a solid pitcher overall, doesn't get hit too hard, doesn't have a massive strikeout rate, but he can control things. The Guardians also, their bullpen was a bit taxed, not only yesterday so much, but the 12-inning game. They also are playing every day from now until next Thursday and have a doubleheader on Monday, so they need their pitchers to go deeper into the game to kind of save things for their bullpen.
It's the rubber match inside Yankee Stadium. Gerrit Cole gets the start for New York. Gavin Williams on the other side for Cleveland. That insight from Sports. Tom, I'll bet you. Tom, as always, thank you. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another historic day in Major League Baseball. It is Skeens Day 17. That's XVII for the Pittsburgh Pirates, his 17th career start of his rookie season. But some of the history, Donnie, is starting to fall just a little bit flat. There's not as much enthusiasm behind Paul Skeens on the mound as there was early this year. And we are seeing that reflected in the National League Rookie of the Year odds. Skeens gets the start today for the Buccos at home inside PNC Park. They're listed as a minus 144 favorite against the Reds, total of 7.5. What do you expect out of Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh today?
I expect a good performance out of Paul Skeens, and also the question mark is not going to come from Skeens for me whether or not we get a solid performance. I think we do. The question is going to be on Nick Lodolo, the left-handed pitcher here for the Cincinnati Reds. The one thing as a left-handed pitcher typically will struggle with is against right-handed batters. He's going to face a ton of right-handed batters tonight, but also when you're looking at the lineup for the Pittsburgh Pirates up against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days, it's really not all that great. So when you're saying to yourself which way you're going to play this game for me as opposed to a side, which I do think Pittsburgh probably wins because Skeens is the better pitcher, but I think the under might make even a little bit more sense here. Skeens has a good night. Lodolo keeps him a little bit off tap and maybe get one of those games that winds up at 4-2, 4-3, somewhere in that range. So I do think the Pittsburgh Pirates win, but I'm more comfortable with the under. I think both of these pitchers can have a decent performance tonight.
And again, what is so fascinating about this is Paul Skeens has made 5 starts since starting for the National League in the All-Star game. It's not like he has become a gas can. He has still been pretty good. Yes, he did allow 4 earned runs in a game against the Dodgers a couple of weekends ago, but outside of giving up those 4 earned, he's been pretty darn good. He's still 7-2 with a 2.30 ERA, which would be the best in baseball if you were to meet the inning requirement. Yeah. That is not the case at this moment. But Donnie, it is fascinating, and it's something you warned about from the very start, whether it was the NL Cy Young conversation around Skeens or even the hefty minus money prices on Skeens as an odds-on favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year award. If Pittsburgh was out of playoff contention, which they have been struggling here in the second half, Paul Skeens' number to win award hardware would grow longer. He is no longer the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year award. It's San Diego's Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, and it should be that way because you're taking a look at Paul Skeens, and unfair as it may be, he came on the scene as a whirlwind. But as we talked about pitchers that have been playing the entire season, or pitching the entire season, same things with players, you have to be perfect every single night. And if you give up 3 runs one night, you probably can't be the Cy Young Award winner, fair or foul. And also, in order to win the Cy Young, you must pitch all the way through September, and people want to see you in high leverage situations like Pittsburgh must win tonight to keep that 1-game lead in the wild card. Now they're 8 games back up. Believe the wild card, that's going up in smoke at this point. And also, from a business standpoint, Pittsburgh saying whether or not this guy wins the Cy Young or not this year isn't going to change anything with them making the playoffs. They need this guy healthy down the line. Extra innings in September doesn't make much sense. And also, as we talk about with Merrill, he's playing in a big game environment on a night-to-night basis and performing very, very well. That gets you those added points there when you're looking to win Rookie of the Year. So I don't have any issues with this year. If we had, and also, keep in mind with Skeens, Ben, we saw this guy in legitimate 2 chances to throw a no-hitter, and they're like, you know what, pull him out of the game. Yeah. So apparently the Pittsburgh Pirates don't care if he wins the Cy Young or Rookie of the Year. Otherwise, they would have let him get no-hitters.
8 games below 500, 59-67 for Pittsburgh. Their focus for Skeens and their organization is not on making a playoff run late here in 2024. It's 2025 and beyond. Pittsburgh actually got off to a decent start following the All-Star break at their peak, 55-52 in playoff contention in the wild card chase in the NL. From that point, they have been 4-15. Team. Games number 961, 962 on the rotation. That's up in the Bronx. The Yankees take it.
Let me find it. Where is that?
I mean,
all right.
You know, I was just talking with Friezo. We love when you give out the rotation numbers. So we thought we'd give it back to you.
The right rotation number. So congratulations.
No way, Joe. Joe gave me bad numbers.
What did you just say? What number did you say?
961, 962. Yankees guarding.
959, 960, I got to. Oh, hold on. No, you're right. My bad. I had the time schedule wrong. Oh. Yeah, 61, 62. You're good.
Yep. Come on now.
I don't have it in the order of time as opposed to game, so you got it. Yep, that is it.
Okay. All right, good. So now that we are squared away, 9-6-1, 9-6-2 on the rotation today. Boom. It's the Yankees as a -178 home favorite in the rubber match against the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians victorious in 12 innings in the longest game of this MLB season on Tuesday. The Yankees, led by Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, respond yesterday to even up the set. Who takes the rubber match with some day baseball up in the Bronx?
Yeah, I think, look, it's a high price here right now. And again, we're not getting that Gerrit Cole that's the best pitcher on the planet right now, working his way back, but he's still a better pitcher than where you're going to get out of Gavin Williams. And also taking a look at the lineup, Soto and Judge hammering right-handed pitching. Austin Wells doing well. Giancarlo Stanton doing well. Volpe, even Oswaldo Cabrera has some good statistics here against right-handed pitching over the past month. I do think the Yanks get it together. RBI chances, of course, Soto and Judge. The only issue with that sometimes that you come up with, yeah, sooner or later other managers catch on as well. I'm like, you know what? I'm not pitching this guy. Runner on third base, put that guy on first base here. So if you're looking for legitimate RBI opportunities, maybe the best one, Austin Wells, because we expect Soto and Judge to be on base and maybe getting free passes. Austin Wells has to pick it up. That's where I'd look today as sort of a contrarian RBI look.
Aaron Judge, even money, plus 100 to record a ribby. He's got 18 in August. He had three yesterday. Juan Soto had five RBIs yesterday, plus 150 for an RBI. Aaron Judge, who hit his 46th and 47th home run last night against Cleveland, plus 220 to hit a long ball today. Will the Orioles bounce back at home against a really good Houston team? What a matchup this is. A postseason preview, perhaps. Corbin Burnes and the O's, a home favorite today in Camden against the Astros. Corbin Burnes gets the start.
Yeah, we'll take the under 8. I don't think we get the 9 runs tonight. Corbin Burnes at home this season, 2.91 ERA, xFIP 3.22 through 77 and a third innings pitched. Playoff type atmosphere today in Baltimore. Let's go under.
Both teams lost their midweek set. Houston to the Red Sox, dropping the final two. Baltimore the first and the final against the New York Mets. The O's, unlike Houston, who has been playing really good baseball in August, the Astros 12-6. The Orioles just 9-8 or 8-9 at this moment. Enjoy the money line. We'll talk tomorrow on a football Friday, but not before the early line ends out on this Thursday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now this is my favorite. A final segment as we get ready for the college football season, which is just 48 hours away, a little bit more than that, about 49, before we get to kick on Saturday afternoon over in Dublin with a focus on Big Ten football. The crowning of a new era in Lincoln, Nebraska, and some breaking news overnight as it pertains to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kirk Ferentz is the longest tenured head coach in FBS college football this year. He is about to enter year number 26 at the helm in Iowa City. It was reported last night and confirmed that Kirk Ferentz and wide receivers coach John Budmayer are going to be suspended for Iowa's season opener against FCS opponent Illinois State next Saturday. The suspension, it has not been determined yet if it was handed down in discipline related to an NCAA investigation into recruiting violations of the transfer portal, or if the Hawkeyes themselves are self-imposing this on Kirk Ferentz and that wide receiver coach. But what we do know is that Kirk Ferentz, again, the head coach for Iowa, entering year number 26, and wide receiver coach John Budmayer are going to be suspended for the season opener. It's a one-game suspension against Illinois State. This all relates to transfer portal recruiting violations of Iowa's starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, or at least we believe Iowa's starting quarterback in Cade McNamara. That's where things stand at this moment. Brendan Sullivan, the transfer from Northwestern, is reportedly factoring into a quarterback race, and it has not been easy for McNamara coming back from a season-ending knee injury that he suffered early last year in his first year for Iowa. So that's the story out of Iowa at this moment. Kirk Ferentz suspended for the season opener against Illinois State. Iowa is going to be a hefty favorite against that FCS foe. In fact, the Iowa Hawkeyes win total for 2024 is 8.5. Let me see if I can track down that line. Yeah, 23.5 in favor of Iowa preseason in the top 25 for a second consecutive year at number 25. Of course, the focus for Iowa is what the offense is going to look like this year under new OC Tim Lester, who that quarterback is going to be. The defense is going to be darn good, though. 42.5. 42.5 is the over-under. I'm not sure the Redbirds are going to score a point in that game. Iowa's win total, 8.5. The under has the juice. Iowa has been an 8-win football team each of the past 5 years and beyond. Iowa's rival, formerly in the Big Ten West and in the conference, at least their border rival, that would be the Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's a new era in Lincoln, Nebraska. The future is now for the Huskers. Dylan Raiola has been named the starting quarterback for Nebraska in its season opener against UTEP. Dylan Raiola, the highest-rated quarterback recruit in the 2024 class, is now the starter from day number one for Nebraska. Of course, his father, Dominic Raiola, and the guy you saw sitting next to him at that basketball game on his right, Donovan Raiola, that is Dylan's uncle and the offensive line coach for the Cornhuskers. Raiola was originally committed to Georgia. He then shocked the college football world by trying to continue his father's legacy and the legacy of a once proud program in Lincoln for Nebraska, committing to the Huskers. He is the highest rated recruit in the history of Nebraska football. He will be just the second true freshman ever to start a season opener for the Cornhuskers at the quarterback position, joining Adrian Martinez back in 2018. Martinez never fulfilled his promise of a sensational freshman year in Lincoln, but that freshman year in Lincoln was darn good for Martinez. Nebraska is hoping for the same under Dylan Raiola. Maybe you have seen the picture of him moving into his freshman year dorm in Lincoln, where he looks a lot like Patrick Mahomes. He trains with Patrick Mahomes under Mahomes' quarterback coach, who is also Raiola's. And there is a lot of optimism each and every year for the Huskers. Believe me, I live and worked in Omaha for 2 seasons. Even in the Mike Riley era, there was optimism each and every season. As an offseason builds in Lincoln, or in the great state of the Cornhusker state, the good life in Nebraska, it is filled with optimism and hype. And I can guarantee you now that Dylan Raiola has been named the starting quarterback. Many around the great state of Nebraska are predicting the Huskers will go over 7.5 and maybe sprinkling on that 50-1 price to win a Big Ten title. Nebraska's first charge in year two under Matt Rhule, and with Dylan Raiola as their starting quarterback, get back to a bowl game for the first time since 2016. It's a Football Friday tomorrow on the Early Line, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern here on Sports Grid.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.